Yeah, good stuff. So we do have Ryan Talbot now with us. Again, writer at New York Upstate and at Bills Updates. So you can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
So first things first, obviously, the Bills traded up and got one of the quarterbacks that they were targeting. Is it your estimation that he is the one that they really wanted all along?
You know, I think it was kind of a 1A, 1B situation. I think they like Josh Allen and Sam Darnold a lot. And when Darnold didn't go number one, I think maybe they made one last-ditch effort to try to get to that number two, but I don't think the Giants were ever really serious about moving out of that spot. You know, one thing that I find really interesting is you can play that what-if game. What if the Colts didn't make that trade with the Jets before the draft, so far before the draft, and they waited until draft night? I think they could have had multiple teams offering even more than what they ended up getting in that deal from the Jets, because I think Darnold was number one on a lot of boards. I think he may have been number one on Buffalo's board, but if he was, Josh Allen was definitely the 1B. Those were their top two guys. They like his upside. They like what he can do. I know we've already heard about the weather and the elements and that he can throw through that. But they also like him as the person. When they met with him, they came away very impressed. They think he's very intelligent. And they think that they can work on those accuracy issues by working on his footwork and continuing to work on his footwork, which he did with Jordan Palmer leading up to the draft.
Well, Ryan, right there you mentioned the idea that maybe this is a team, they took the phone call at two, maybe they would have got up to three. I do think one of the really impressive things for this team was that they didn't give up any extra first-round picks in their attempt to get up. So what did you make of kind of the price that they paid to move from 12 to 7?
Well, you know, a lot of people are criticizing that, saying they gave up too much. Who else was going to try to move up there? But at the same time, you don't know if maybe they were competing with a team like the Cardinals, who reportedly wanted Josh Allen over Josh Rosen. So they might have been competing with another team for that actual selection, which I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. So they did have to give up two of their second-round picks. But as you said, no 2019 picks were moved in this deal. No 2019 picks were moved later on in the first round in the Tremaine Edmonds deal. So Brandon Bean has them set up for next year. He got his top two, you know, two of his top targets that he wanted in the first round, probably a better outcome than he ever could have imagined. And they're sitting there, and yes, they could have found two guys in round two that probably could have come in and competed for playing time or starting time right away. But I just don't think they envisioned they could get Allen at number 12. And then when Edmonds was still on the board at 16, I think they thought, well, we can give up that number 65 pick too, because here's a guy that's going to come in, should be a day one starter. He is versatile. He could play any of the linebacker positions, but I think he's going to replace Preston Brown as the middle linebacker, and he's just going to rack up tackles as a rookie.
Now, Ryan, Josh Allen is polarizing for a number of reasons, but when it comes to the tweets, and we can take whatever our individual reactions may be out of this, I felt that Lorenzo Alexander's, the team's captain's, comments were the most important ones. They weren't controversial, but they were somewhat eye-popping to me, where he basically said, I'm going to be giving him a chance, I hope everybody else does, but I cannot guarantee you that they will, and at some point he is going to have to address the locker room on those tweets. Do you feel that the locker room reaction was taken into account accordingly, and do you think it's something that perhaps is being overlooked here?
You know, maybe it is being overlooked a little bit, but like you said, I like what Lorenzo Alexander said. I think that Josh Allen plans on addressing it with his teammates, and you know, what he said in those tweets were unacceptable, no matter the age. But he was very young. He was very impressionable. The Bills talked to him about every single one of the tweets. They had him break down what he was referring to. You know, why did he say this? Why did he say that? So he was able to explain them to the Bills. Brandon Bean came away satisfied with that response. So I do think that Josh Allen, though, plans on addressing the team pretty quickly. In fact, once they're all together and letting them know, you know, that he made a mistake, that he's ready to move on, and that hopefully the rest of the team can move on with him, which I anticipate.
So, again, we're with Ryan Talbot. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. He's a Bills writer for New York Upstate, and you find him at Bills Updates as well. So, I mean, ultimately, he comes in here. They obviously paid a price for him. I do think the Bills have more of a long-term approach with A.J. McCarron as the bridge quarterback. But do you think that this competition is open going into July and Allen having a shot to unseat McCarron?
Yeah, you know, being said that they're not going in anticipating that he's going to start in week one, but they said if he wins the competition, he wins it and he'll start week one. I think the Bills want to bring him along gradually. They want to work with him a little bit. Ideally, if he were to play as a rookie, I think they'd like to wait until later in the season, maybe after their bye week, which is later on this year. But that all comes down to, one, does A.J. McCarron or even Nathan Peterman win the job in training camp? Two, when they are on the field in the regular season, are the Bills being competitive? Are they actually staying, you know, with these other teams that they're playing against, or is it a lost cause? Because the Bills are sitting there 0-4, 0-5. Well, at what point do you say, okay, clearly even though A.J. McCarron or Peterman won the job at training camp, we're not seeing the results on the field, and we want to kind of see what our number one pick here can do. So that's going to be the most interesting thing to me. They're not closing the book on Allen starting week one, but I don't think that's their game plan. I think ideally they'd like to let him wait at least midway through the season and then put him into that lineup when he's very comfortable with the offense, when they've seen him enough in practice to know what he can do with this roster.
Ryan, I'm curious your thoughts on how the dynamic in that quarterback room is going to look, right? Ben Roethlisberger recently just had those somewhat controversial comments in his opinion on the Mason Rudolph pick, basically saying it doesn't help us win now, and I'm sure that is not going to really sit well with Rudolph. It can't make him feel comfortable. This is a situation here where McCarron is not in a spot where he's looking to groom Josh Allen, despite the fact that I think it's quite obvious that's who their future quarterback is going to be. They're going to be battling for this. So do you think it could be a scenario where there's some toxicness there? Is there any concern over how that group could mesh?
No, I don't see that happening. Just because A.J. McCarron has been in that spot where he was in Cincinnati for all those seasons. And I think Andy Dalton worked with him, and I think he kind of mentored him. I don't know if maybe he got a fair shake because Dalton was winning enough games for them to be competitive, to be in that wild card chase, to be in the playoffs, where maybe McCarron never got that shot. But I do think that Dalton was a good mentor to him. And I think that when he meets with Allen, I think that if Allen has any questions, McCarron's not going to hesitate to answer them for him. But yeah, he's a competitive guy. He's not just going to hand the job over by any means. I just don't envision that type of toxic environment or any kind of comment similar to what Roethlisberger said in regards to Mason Rudolph.
You know, it's ironic because Andy Dalton's contract is basically up at the end of this year. I wonder if he had a better chance. If Dalton didn't play well for a month, I wonder if he had a better chance to take over the Bengals job than he does hanging on to the Bills job for any length of time.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting because they're at that point, too, where, like you said, they can get out of that contract next year. I think there's a lot of jobs on the line, obviously, in Cincinnati this year, so I don't think they would have hesitated to pull Dalton if things weren't going well. But at the end of the day, I guess that he sat on that market long enough, and it wasn't like he was on the market for weeks by any means, but a lot of the quarterback money went so quickly that when Buffalo's offer came in, I think it was the best that he had. So maybe Cincinnati just didn't make that any kind of competitive offer for him. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to follow their season to see what happens because that could have been a scenario that could have happened this season.
Ryan, let me quickly ask you, just in terms of Edmonds, right, because there's no controversy with that pick. Everybody feels like that was an A-plus home run pick. Were you surprised that they were able to grab him considering he felt like a top-10 lock as we got closer and closer to that draft?
Yeah, I was very surprised. And when I saw the Bills move up from 22 to 16, that's who I envisioned them going after. I mean, He was by far, in my opinion at least, the best player on the board at that point in time. So it addresses, first of all, it's nice when your draft board matches up with one of your biggest needs, because this wasn't a reach by any means, but inside linebacker, just linebacker in general, was one of Buffalo's biggest needs in this draft. And all of a sudden, arguably one of the best, or arguably the best linebacker in the draft class, is sitting there at 16, and you have a team that says, yeah, you know, we're willing to let you move up to this pick to get him. You just give us your number 22 and 65. And I think for Bean, that was a no-brainer. Yes, it would have been nice to have that other pick, again, get a guy that could possibly come in and start up immediately, but you're not going to get an impact player like Tremaine Edmonds, most likely, at number 22. He wasn't going to keep falling. And in fact, there was a report out there saying that the Chargers are ready to pounce on him at number 17. So the Bills did exactly what they needed to do to go out and get that guy.
And Harrison Phillips, that defensive tackle in the third round, is a great addition as well. Some people rumored to see him in the first round. He falls to them, but I think he's a guy that clearly long-term will be a good fit for them. But here's my last question for you. The Bills made a lot of maneuvers this offseason. Obviously, jettisoned three different offensive linemen. Now they have they're resetting at quarterback for the long term. They made the playoffs in McDermott's first year, was probably a surprise to a lot of people. I would argue that, you know what, in the short term, the Bills may not look as good in 2018, maybe not a playoff team, but Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott are building the team in their image, turning over the roster, getting players that they like, and are moving forward in a five-year plan to compete for championships, not just to squeak in at 9-7 to break a streak. So I would contend that maybe they're a little worse in the short term, but long term they're looking okay. Is that a reasonable outlook, or do you think that I'm off base?
No, I think that's a very reasonable outlook. I anticipate them taking a little bit of a step back this year. You know, they did surprise a lot of people last year going 9-7, but now they're going to have a second place schedule to contend with. So it's a very difficult lineup that they play this year in general. They're very young at a lot of areas. Obviously, they're probably going to want to get Josh Allen in at some point. But you look at this roster, like you said, they're building for the future. Josh Allen, if he pans out, they have their first franchise, long-term franchise guy since Jim Kelly. Tremaine Edmonds, I think he makes an immediate impact this year and beyond. Sean McDermott, that is, ends up getting a guy that maybe he's not Keekly, but he's as close to Keekly as maybe you could get in this year's draft class in terms of his athleticism, in terms of that size, speed, ratio, tackling ability. Harrison Phillips, he was referred to as Kyle Williams Jr. I see that happening. I think he'll be the third defensive tackle in that rotation as a rookie. Obviously behind Star Lotulelei and Kyle Williams, but I think he's going to see significant reps, and they're going to try to get him built up for 2019 and beyond, because Kyle Williams keeps coming back on these one-year deals, and I think this might be the last one. So you do have to have that plan in place. They took two highly athletic players, defensive backs there in Taron Johnson and Saran Neal. Neal played linebacker, cornerback, and safety in college. And then Wyatt Teller, I think, could come in and compete for guard, at left guard possibly as a rookie. So definitely building up for this year and for the future.
Good stuff from Ryan Talbot. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. Ryan, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll be back to wrap this up on FST next.